ම ම එස්යා කියලාත්ම ඉව හබිහි සුමංගලයේ වාචෝ විමිශ්‍රා ගුණකර්ම ජන්මබිහි ප්‍රණන්ති ශුභන්ති පුනන්ති වයි ජගන් යත විරක්තාහ ශවලෝභනා මතාහ යස්යාඛිලාත්මයිව හබි සුමංගලයේ වාචෝ විමිශ්‍රා ගුණකර්ම ජන්මබිහි ව්‍රණන්ති ශුභන්ති ග්‍රණන්ති වෛ ජග යස්తాදිරක්තා ශවශෝබනාමතහ යස්යාඛිලබිවහබි සුමංගලේ වාචෝ විමිශ්‍රා ගුණකර්ම ජන්මබිහි ප්‍රණන්තේ ශුභන්ති පුනන්ති වෛ ජග යස්తాද්විරක්තහ ශවශෝබනාමතහ යස්යාඛිලාභිවහබිහි සුමංගලේ වාචෝ විමිශ්‍රා ගුණකර්ම ජන්මබිහි ප්‍රාණන්ති ශුභන්ති පුනන්ති වෛ ජග යස්తాද්විරක්තහ ශවශෝභනාමතහ
Mataji's. Yasya of whom Akhila all Amiva sins Habihi which destroy Sumangalai
most auspicious. Vachah, words. Vimishraha, joined. Guna, with qualities. Karma, activities. Janmabihi, and incarnations. Prananti, they give life. Shubhanti, make beautiful. Prananti, and purify. Why? Indeed. Jagat, the entire universe. Yah, which? Tat, of this. Viraktaha, devoid. Shava, of a corpse. Shobanaha, like the decorating. Mataha, considered. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation and purport. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune are created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearance. And words that describe these three things animate beauty and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of His glories are like the decoration on a corpse. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami brings up the following possible objection. How can one who is devoid of ordinary ego, who is fully satisfied, self-satisfied, engage in pastime? This answer is given here. Lord Krishna acts on the pure spiritual platform for the pleasure of His loving devotees, not for any kind of mundane gratification. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Juta Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raghunatanvitamscha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Raja Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities and appearances. And words that describe these three things animate beauty and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of His glories are like the decoration on a corpse. Hare Krishna. So Uddhavji is on the way to Vrindavan, coming on behalf of Kamsa to bring back Krishna to Mathura. And Kamsa's plan was very clearly known to Akrurji. But he also knew Krishna's power. And very interesting here, Akrur, you know, all along was serving under Kamsa as a trusted minister. So Akrura was very trusted by Kamsa. But still Akrura is a great devotee of Krishna. So we see in the scripture there are many personalities. Sometimes they are placed in an awkward situation, wherein the surrounding is not very favorable to their Krishna consciousness. The external surrounding. One may question why they are still continuing to work. Why they are still, whether it is Vibhishan, whether it is Vidura, whether it is Akrura. We see that many places, these kind of personalities are there. But what matters in one sense, because sometimes our surrounding cannot be changed abruptly. One is vivash, vivashta hoti hai. And because of that helplessness, because helplessness is one of the most powerful character of this material world. Prabhupada therefore explains that because of this material body, living in it is put in an embarrassing situation. So therefore, to be helpless is the conditional nature of every living entity in this world. Every living entity at some point of time, in fact most of the time living entity is in a helpless situation. And we can see mostly amongst the old people, diseased people, people with bad habits. Those who are having bad habits, they are not demonic in regards to their consciousness. They are habituated to perform sinful activities. Organized demons, Prabhupada explains, are very less in number. They are hardcore, they have a demonic philosophy, they have a demonic culture, they want to propagate demonic culture. Their number is very less. Most people are put in a helpless condition. And because their surrounding is so helpless, and their culture, their consciousness also becomes according to their external surrounding. Superficially they may act agnostic and atheistic. From a very clear perspective, anyone who is not in Vrindavan is all demonic. Anybody who is with Kamsa is demon, from that perspective. Anybody who is with Ravan is demon. But life is not like that. Life is not like that. It is not black and white. Otherwise, how is that Akrur on the way coming to Vrindavan, not that he had a 7-hour class given by some Mahabhagavat. This is how you have to approach Krishna. A crash course on how to approach Krishna. That was already there. That was already there in his heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya. That was already there, but some other the facility was not there for him to express. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam we read, when Bali Maharaj, when he saw Krishna in the form of Vamandev coming to his sacrificial arena, now again his surrounding forced him not to do what he is supposed to do, offer his obeisances to Krishna. He was not able to do that. Because he was surrounded by demonic people. The culture was anti-dandavat. No? You're not supposed to offer obeisances. How can you offer obeisance to anybody? In the material world, when you express helplessness, if you act helplessly, that is considered as weakness. You have to stand by. You have to, hold your head high. And expose your chest. Walk straight. In public speaking, I think they teach all these things. Be confident. But here we see that Bali Maharaj knew what he is supposed to do. After all, he is a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj and of course great grandson of Hiranyakashipu and father of Virochan. So, when he saw Vishnu coming in, but the culture was not to offer obeisances. But his internal culture was what was to offer obeisances. So how do you deal with this? This conflicting situation. It is one thing, okay, I don't care whatever others say. And externally one may offer obeisances. That is there. And sound very strange. So Bali Maharaj, what he did in his mind, and that's what he explains to Vamandev in the conclusion of this pastime, a very sweet part, that he told Vamandev, my dear Lord, when you came to this arena, I wanted to offer my obeisances to you, but I couldn't. I just simply offered within my mind, and just see the benefit. The benefits what I've derived is the benefit as much as a pure devotee derives. Therefore, if we study Akrura's character, now how many times, how many people can actually move out of their material surrounding and try to find something which is pure spiritual? There is no such thing as pure spiritual in the material world. My surrounding is very pure because I stay in the Brahmacharya ashram. That's a myth. Like recently one of our devotee, Gaur Govindpur, was telling a nice story to, you know, some brahmacharis. He said, one time one king captured a priest because the priest was doing something and he put him in the prison. Then he also captured another person who was a robber. He put him in the same place where the priest was staying and they became best of the friends. And the robber, you know, he wanted to escape. So the priest helped him to dug a tunnel. And the thief was escaping from there. And the priest started following. And the thief asked him, how can you do this? You are a brahmana. You are a priest. You know, you are a saintly person. You should not be doing it. You should go through the imprisonment what you have received. So this brahmana priest said, actually, I am a priest, I am not a saint. Main pujari hoon, main sant nahi hoon. Just because we have this dress, doesn't mean that we become saintly. Because outsiders believe that we are saint. And therefore give special privileges. And when we start believing in this, you know, that is a very bad material surrounding. Because the consciousness is already corrupted. It is better to be like Akrur, you know, helplessly. It is not that he is consciously for post, position, high salary, you know, is there. You know, vivash, because of the helplessness. And as I said, the material world, especially the modern world, is so created for most people that they are forced by their very surrounding for basic sustenance. Because of the basic sustenance, they are forced to be what they are doing. But if they get just little association of devotees, they come in contact with Krishna's devotees, then what happens? Suddenly, as Akrur is presenting his Krishna conscious culture, you know, that comes out. In Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness was not a separate activity. It was not separate. You create a special kind of activities to prove this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness was very much fiber of their existence. You know, one Maharashtrian has compiled a book on the traditional life in the village, how people used to live. Now, very interesting that entire day was so arranged that there was no separate activity as such. 4 ghanta diya, 6 ghanta diya. The entire day was Krishna conscious. But you would not see that. And they would sing songs. Now I read one page of that book. It was there in somebody's home. When they would get up in the morning, they would sing a song in their local language. Now this book was written in Marathi. And the lady would come up, you know, the man would come down from there, wherever they would rest. And the first thing they would do, sing a song. It was not, again, it was not given a class. It was part of their culture, coming from tradition. Her mother did, her grandmother did, great grandmother did. Everybody was doing it. What was it? They would get down and they would offer prayers to Mother Bhumi. That, my dear Bhumi, now whole day I'm going to walk on you. Please forgive me for this offense. You are the pati of Lord Narayan, Bhudevi. You remember Krishna immediately. And then when you take bath, then they would remember, invoke the rivers in sing, in song. It was not Sanskrit mantra. You know, must be a slang Marathi language. But in that unrefined language also there was a refined culture of, you know, reciting, invoking all the rivers. You continue to be Krishna conscious. Then after taking bath, you go and worship mother cow. It is not worshipping, actually taking care of the cows, bathing the cows. And while bathing the cows, you are doing the service to cow. It was part of your life, every day. It is not that just because somebody gave a pep talk on cow, then I become a cow devotee. No. We need to be everything very organized, unfortunately, in the mundane world. You know, in a artificial setup, everything has to be orchestrated. Next 7 days we are going to speak on satsang. Next 7 days we are going to speak on the power of association of devotees. There is a need now, but before it was not needed. And she would go to the cows, she is taking care of the cows. And while taking care of the cows, you touch all part of the body, because you are cleaning the cows. As she would touch the hump of the cow, you know, the men or women, they would say, this is Shaligram Shila, Narayan Shila. Invoking the appearance of Narayan Shila. When they would clean the part, belly part of the cow, she would say, this is Dwarka is reciting here. When they would clean the ears of the cow, this is a song, part of the song. They would remember, oh, Lord Vishnu is there, Lord Krishna is there. And then when they would pick up the cow dung, you have visited all the demigod temples. Oh, sorry, Lakshmi. And the entire cow body is nothing but the combination of all the demigods. And the next you go and, you know, take care of your plants. And part of many plants, Tulsi is the most important plant. And when you do, what do you do with Tulsi plant? With Tulsi plant, again you offer some puja, you know, with the song only. Then you start cleaning your prangan, your courtyard. And certainly your courtyard is not made of marble. It is made of mud only. If it is a marble floor, you put a marble floor and eventually put the shoes. That is called as modern life. You know, you don't have an experience also. If you continue to expose yourself with a marble floor, then you have a back problem. So they would go and clean the floor every day. You are touching the floor. And then she would chant another song. What is this song? That this prangan which I am cleaning, the courtyard which I am cleaning is like courtyard of my heart. And there is a lot of dirt. And Lord Vishnu, please clean my heart. I could only read this much. And you could be assured of that whole day, maybe according to different seasons, they had different songs to recite. And this is what Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, Tasma Sarveshu Kaleshu Ma Manusmara Yuddhacha. My dear Arjun, that you perform your war, you know, your duty, yuddha. Life is a yuddha. But it is no more yuddha, because you are continuously, while performing that yuddha, you are able to remember Krishna. Like I was sharing this to one devotee. Then he said, Prabhuji, but it is very mechanistic, no? Was it they were consciously conscious of Krishna? Then Shubhi Vilas Prabhu said, that is called as unconscious competence. It's unconscious competence. What is this unconscious competence? You have become so accustomed to doing it. And you are so accustomed to doing these things, that it becomes habit for you. Just like breathing, you are not conscious of breathing, but you know, unless you breathe, you know, you can't survive. So similarly in cultural world, you know, without breathing with Krishna, you don't survive. So that becomes unconscious competence. And then eventually when they have to pass from this world, when they have to quit this body, it was not a big deal. It was not a big issue. Because large number of people would do that. What is it? There was a natural detachment. This body is done with it. It's an old body. It's an useless body. As they would become older and older, detachment from family affairs was quite natural. Fully absorbed in worshipping the Lord, fully absorbed in hearing Harikatha, and then very consciously remembering Krishna, they would part from this world. So therefore, when Krishna consciousness is practiced in this way, you know, without fear, like Narad Muni explains in the Bhagavatam to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, one should not take life and death very seriously. One should just see how the time factor is passing. Now, as the time factor is passing, with the passing of the time factor, you are able to change. Again, the change is also very natural. You know, as a youth, you do something different. As a grown-up man, you do something different. As an older person, you do something different. That was a natural, organic progression. But in the modern world, everything has to be forced upon. A young man has to be given a talk, special counseling session, you know, about marriage counseling. There was no such thing as marriage counseling. Why? Because they knew others were doing, so therefore they would also do. Like I went to somebody's house yesterday, you know, Sindhi family, and they had a 5-year-old boy. Now this child is fortunate to experience grandparents are there, you know, father and mother are there together, neighbors are also kind of Sindhi people only. So I asked him, what will you do when you grow up? Baap ke saath office mein jaunga. It is very difficult to hear this answer nowadays among the children. It's a main office chala jaunga. I'll go to office with my father. So then the father said, Prabhuji, once in 10 days I take my son to my office. So he's watching now what's happening there. It's a family business, you know, 3-4 generation. So there's no confusion that I have to grow up. And another thing he said, you know, I'll go to office because mere pitaji budde ban jayenge na. So his experience is that eventually my father will become old. There is no such imagination that, you know, I will ever stay evergreen. One who has not experienced old age, has not seen closely, seeing old age is not seeing in a distant place, you know, old man is walking. Seeing old age means actually old people are staying in your house. You know, you see them, how they are changing their thought process. You are seeing them, how they become detached from the world. When you see that, then that experience gives, okay, mere pitaji bhi old banenge, main bhi old banunga. You don't have to hear a philosophy for that. Buddha ban jata hai, phir itne sare baal girte hai, phir daat gir jata hai. No. But you are acting what? You are still going to, you know, cosmetic world, making your hair dye, you know, trying to maintain your teeth, not for eating but for looking. No. So when you are hearing something, but your behavior is contrary to what you hear, then there is a continuous conflict. There is a continuous conflict. Therefore, Krishna consciousness has to be superimposed. Like one devotee was telling me. He said, according to what he understood about Krishna consciousness, he said, Krishna consciousness was not forced upon him. It was irresistible force. When something is superimposed, then it is not sustainable. But when it becomes irresistible, I have chosen to practice devotional service because it is my need. I want it. Not because my friend is telling. Yeah, my friend may facilitate my bhakti, but he cannot force upon. Therefore, in the Vedic concept, in Bhagavad Gita we see Krishna told Arjuna after speaking the entire Bhagavad Gita. And very interestingly, when Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the 6th chapter I was reading, now Arjuna is supposed to fight the war. But how Krishna gives all aspect of knowledge? He says, a yogi, what does he do? He considers pebbles, gold, dust with an equal vision. And then on the higher level, much higher on this, is that a yogi, what does he do? He considers enemy, friend, neutral party, madhyastha, you know, on the same level. So for Krishna to tell this to Arjuna, it could have been very dangerous. Why? Then Arjuna said, why should I fight? You are telling me not to do this. But the knowledge has to be given. It is not that only give selective knowledge, because he may misunderstand this, he may not, you know, properly understand this, and he may not do what I want him to do. Krishna gives the complete knowledge to Arjuna, wholesome knowledge, not only certain aspects so that he should accept what I want him to accept. He gives him the complete concept of yoga process. And after that, what does he say? My dear Arjun, that is called as detachment. He says, my dear Arjun, now you decide whatever you want to do. Yatechasi tatakuru. There is no force. Because Krishna made the whole knowledge so irresistible for Arjuna. You know, he was willing to take responsibility for Arjuna's life. Then out of his own choice, by his own desire, because ultimately bhakti, ultimately devotional service, it is the constitutional nature of the living entity. Krishna consciousness is not preached the way a Christian missionary preaches, because for them it's only one life. For a devotee, he says, okay, you know, I give knowledge. Therefore, in the sixth chapter, Arjuna raised this question, very interesting question. He said, my dear Lord, what if someone does not achieve perfection in this very lifetime? If he fails to continue to practice the path of yoga in the middle, you know, just like when you go to Gomukh for trekking, you have to be assured that I'll complete the trekking, 21 kilometers. You can't say after walking 10 kilometers, abhi mujhe wapis aana hai. Because walking ahead is also problematic, and walking backward is also problematic. And sometime when you are walking, especially in the middle, if you are in the end, there are some, you know, horses. In the beginning, there are horses. But when you decide to walk, in the middle, it is very rare that you could get horse. Beech mein koi nahi rahega. So then you have to make a choice. You know, either choice is painful. So Arjuna basically raised this question, what if somebody after walking the path of spirituality, yoga practice, he gives up Krishna consciousness. But taking to the path of Krishna consciousness is not like doing trekking. In the middle there is no horse. But in Krishna's path, in every kilometer there is a horse. You know, there is assurance. Okay, you stop from here, I am there to help you. And Krishna tells Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate. Nahi kaschit, nahi kalyana kaschit. What is that? Nahi kaschit, nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. Very assuring verse that, my dear Arjuna, that there is no failure in this path. It's a continuous progression. And then he explains, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate, that even if you fall, you know, and Prabhupada defines there are two kinds of yogis who are with little practice, they fall down, and others who with longer practice, they fall down. Either way, you know, one may take a longer time, but there is no destruction. And he explains about his own life. Basically, he puts himself and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that, you know, from very childhood, we were given the philosophy or the culture of Krishna consciousness. And with the transcendental system, we again met together. You know, Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada. Why? Because, you know, the Krishna consciousness was coming from previous life, many, many lifetimes. That's what he explains in the Gita. So the path of yoga, the path of Krishna consciousness, has no artificiality in that. It is very natural. No, you take to Krishna consciousness naturally, you practice Krishna consciousness naturally, you quit the material body very naturally. Like we saw Mahaprabhu's wife, you know, I'm reflecting about this, that anyone who lives an artificial life of devotional service, his entire life becomes very artificial only. Conflict, the conflict in the mind, the conflict in the intellect, the conflict in the senses, and the conflict in the behavior. And mostly this is experienced by those who take artificial renunciation. They are the one who suffer the most because of this artificiality. But those who live a very natural life, you know, like we saw these ladies, they give a profound culture. And as we were listening to, as we were dressing, Prabhupada explains that everybody has to become guru. Now everybody has to become guru doesn't mean that officially you are appointed, okay, now you become a guru. He's not talking about that. Everybody become a guru means that you set an example of how to practice devotional service. Now by setting an example for other members, like Kunti was an example for the Pandavas. Pandavas were an example for Parikshit Maharaj. You know, he just glorifies his family member. Why? Because they gave him the culture of Krishna consciousness. It was their family business to be Krishna conscious. It was their family business to be suffering, but in that suffering also, Krishna was never out of it. Whether it is Parikshit, whether it is Pandavas, whether it is Kunti, whether it is Draupadi, you know, like in the Mahabharata it is explained, after they were there for many years in the forest, Krishna came to meet them. I think it was in somewhere near Kampilya. So he came to meet them. When the Pandavas heard that the Lord has come, they were very overwhelmed. And the Lord wanted some excuse to embrace Arjuna again and again. And then the Lord sat and he started asking this question, Yudhishthira, how is that? How is that you are personification of dharma, you are surrounded by such powerful brothers, you are worshippers of brahmanas, and how is that? I am not able to understand. Now, Krishna is saying this out of affection to his devotees. He said, how is that you are suffering? He said, I can't take it. I cannot take your suffering, therefore I have come here to take you and have a fight with the Kauravas. I said, enough of this staying in the forest. So let us go and fight the Kurus. But if you don't agree, then at least you come to Dwarka. Don't stay in the forest. So Krishna offers this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. What else will you do when the Lord says, okay, accept it. You say, yeah, right, you know, after all, now you realize that I should not be staying in the forest. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, my Lord. He said, let me complete my quota. Let me complete my quota. I want to continue staying here and complete my quota. So this is how a devotee takes responsibility of his karma. The Lord is willing to change. But the devotee is saying, no, I don't want. You know, I'm very grateful, my dear Lord, but let me complete my quota. So the Vaishnavas give the explanation that the living in it is suffering in this forest of material existence. And he's eager and he comes to us regularly. Inviting, come on. Of course, not like Yudhishthira Maharaj, like typical materialistic. We say, no, I want to enjoy material life. But here Yudhishthira Maharaj was willing to complete the quota of that 12 years plus 1 year. Even though Krishna, and he didn't come to test them. He did not come to tempt them. It was not tempting. It was not testing. Rather, it was heartfelt invitation for Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas to come and live in Dwarka and complete their quota of 12 years of forest and 1 year of incognito. But they say, no, we want to continue. So we see, because bhakti was very natural for the Pandavas. Similarly here, Akrur, and again their position was materially very helpless. Kunti, very helpless. Draupadi, very helpless. You know, can you imagine getting married to 5 people? Not easy. You know, the whole decision, if you study in the Mahabharata, it was not pre-orchestrated. It is not that Pandava that decided, hum log pehle se shaadi karenge. Neither Draupadi was orchestrating. It all happened abruptly. You know, what they must have gone through in the public world, we have to just imagine. We just read the story and we say, oh, Draupadi had 5 husbands and she was able to manage 5 husbands. It was not very easy. Putting them in the helpless condition, the Pandavas, putting Draupadi in helpless condition, putting Kunti in helpless condition, but they couldn't avoid this. They couldn't avoid this phenomenon of not marrying Draupadi and Draupadi not marrying 5 men. And again, facing the entire world, not that, okay, since I married 5 people, I'm not going to go back to Hastinapur because Duryodhan, Karna and everybody will be, you know, blaspheming us. There was no other choice. They had to come. So therefore, we see with Akrura, very beautiful, his arrival. In fact, it is glorified as one of the limbs of bhakti, vandanam. The eagerness, the excitement. And Akrura was able to see that Kamsa has been very kind to me by giving this service. He was able to see the nastiness of Kamsa for his own personal self as a mercy so that he could meet the Lord. And he knew that Krishna will not misunderstand him. Everybody else will misunderstand. Hey, what is this all these years you're enjoying? Now you're coming to Krishna knowing very well that he's going to kill Kamsa. Sometimes people accuse Vibhishan that why did he change at the last moment? Did he knew that Vibhishan knew that Ravan is going to lose everything, therefore party change, jump like a monkey, you know, go wherever there is a greater facility. No, again it was all a situation where the culture forced him. No, he's my brother, I need to stay with him. I'll be with him, but not with him in regards to this thought process. I will respectfully always challenge his behavior. And that's what Vibhishan kept on doing. It was not that Vibhishan decided to go, rather Ravan kicked him out. He kicked him out. And before also Vibhishan was very surrendered. And this is quoted by Shurpanaka only to Ram. She says, you know, I've got 3 brothers. You know, Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan. But there's one brother of mine, Vibhishan, you know, is a black spot in our family. He talks dharma, dharma, dharma. He talks about dharmic activities. He's the only one who is separate. So the Ramayana, it is explained, that was the place where Ram got attracted to Vibhishan. That was the time he had already decided to give shelter. You know, it was not that when Vibhishan came and asking for shelter. Vibhishan did not know about this, but Ram had already given shelter to Vibhishan. He said, I have given you my shelter. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Whether you are on the Ram side, my side or Ravan side. You are on my side only all the time. Same thing Vidur also. One may say, why did Vidur stay with Kurus? Because of ministerial post? You know, he never came to Pandavas physically. Always stayed in the Kuru. But because he thought, I'm a minister, I can use, you know, I can try to tell dharma to them. Tell them the power of Krishna. In fact, therefore, when Krishna came to Hastinapur, Vidura told Krishna, I said, my dear Lord, why did you come here? It is not a right place for you to be here. You know, just see, Vidur was so concerned about the Lord, but he was willing to take the risk of being with the Kurus and keep on explaining Dhritarashtra. No, that, come on, you cannot be doing this. It will be destruction of your family. He didn't mind speaking this to Duryodhan also. And eventually when Duryodhan chased him away, he said, get lost from here. You know, you're son of a, you know, maid servant. So then Vidur decided to move on. He said, now it's the time for me to move. But again he came back. Not to enjoy the Pandavas, but rather to persist on his brother. To take to the path of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he agreed, he walked with him. You know, Vidura went away. So we see that in this material world also, most living entities are in the condition of helplessness. There is no clear picture. You know, very clear place, very pure place where I can easily chant Hare Krishna. There is no easy chanting Hare Krishna on a physical level. Easily chanting Hare Krishna is on the consciousness level. Therefore, Krishna, in the entire Bhagavad Gita, he continues to talk about detached work, not giving up work. You know, talks about be involved in work, but in such a way that you are completely detached from the results of its activities. And in this way, when one practices Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't matter one is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra or one is in the temple. But if this understanding is not there, even if one is staying inside the altar, you know, there also it happens sometimes when we have varieties of flowers, you know, somebody is dressing Radharani, somebody is dressing Krishna, somebody is dressing Gauranita. Usually what we say, e mera flower hai. No, we say, e mera flower hai. Nahin, flower mera nahi, flower Bhagwan ke liye. No, so it's, that is the thought process of material world. It all belongs to me. Even in the altar. No, it can, from there it can go to something higher also. This jewelry I'm going to only put to Krishna because I am dressing. So in this way, when we study Gita properly and understand what Prabhupada is talking in his books, then Krishna consciousness, when it is when it becomes natural, or we come back to our natural position, then living, dying, doing this thing, doing that thing, you know, it's part of life, but Krishna is always there. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu, any comments? Oh, in Hindi. Okay. When we are worshipping, when we dress the deities, you know, from the garden we receive some flowers. There are some special flowers. So when the flowers are there, so one who is dressing Radharani, he will say, it's my flowers. No? One who is dressing Gauranga, say, it's my flower. It's not my flower, it is their flower. No? So unconsciously, that minus I, me and mine is still there even on the altar. That was the point I was making. Sorry. But sometimes you have to use Hindi. Yes, Jagannath ji.
Thank you very much for your discussion, Prabhu. From what I can understand from your class, one element was the helplessness that we experience in the material world. And another element that you spent a considerable amount of time discussing was the artificiality or perhaps somewhat superimposition of our Krishna consciousness on account of it not being so natural to us. So I was wondering, perhaps, if you can discuss that part of our helplessness is the artificiality of our practices. Because we are under the influence of the modes of nature, we don't find Krishna consciousness irresistible because it's not our necessity. Our necessity is material because we're conditioned. And so part of our helplessness is actually our artificial practices. And so I was wanting to know, what is the, maybe perhaps the encouragement for us, because we are helpless and therefore our practices are artificial. And so what do we do to get out of that, and how can we remain encouraged being in such a helpless condition?
Originally we are not artificial. No, that's what the whole hope-giving understanding is, that Jivara Swarupa Nityara Krishna Das. Prabhupada writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he said a child, you know, has the potential to walk. Right. Like yesterday I was asking that this one devotee's boy, how did you learn Hindi? I asked him, how did you learn Hindi? He speaks very good Hindi. Who taught you? He said, nobody taught me. I learned. You don't ask anybody, how did you learn your mother tongue? There were no tuition classes. Right. When I learned my mother tongue, I didn't say, no, my teacher taught me. Maybe grammar, but to express, to communicate, to convey. It was happening. Right. So we have to at least intellectually, philosophically understand that Krishna consciousness is not artificial. It is natural. Prabhupada says, this mantra is not an artificial imposition on the mind. he begins in that album. It is a natural phenomenon. So at least we understand from the foundational philosophical principle. Then we start analyzing, okay, where do I practice my Krishna consciousness? Where do I practice? Is it very, very artificial or overcoming that artificiality? I said, therefore we have to arrange seminars, arrange program, arrange this talk, arrange that talk. Right, that is there already because we do not have that kind of surrounding. So that facility is there. But eventually bhakti at one stage, you know, that sadhana bhakti has to be, you know, because I want to do it. It is not just because I am there in the temple. Many times, most number of devotees do not get to come to the temple all the time. So they have to create a temple within. There is no other alternative for that, alternative to that, eventually. When you have it, you grab it. But many times you will not have it. Then you can't say, I can only practice Krishna consciousness if there is a temple atmosphere. So eventually one has to, you know, come to that platform of being, making Krishna a natural friend to our life. I'm not even talking about spontaneous devotional service, you know, not talking about Raganuga Bhakti. Sadhana at least. You know, whether I'm in this city or that city, working here, working there, like one brahmachari was telling me this story, one devotee had to go to outside place, you know, and because he had to go outside India, he carried lots of prasad he took. When he was young devotee, just became a devotee, he took precaution of taking all the prasad. When he came back, he asked, so how was it? I said, Prabhuji, I never ate anything outside. What about chanting? He said, chanting I could not do. So we become very, very focused on the externalities. You know, I need to put kantimala. I need to eat food which is not cooked by non-devotees. Of course, that is the most important principle. But the most important principle is that, do I chant my rounds? Do I chant Hare Krishna? Do I remember Krishna consciously? You know, do I bring Krishna in my memory as part of my life? Whether I am here, whether I am there. That has to be eventuality of our life. And how do I begin? By first developing that understanding. You know, like there is one verse in the Mahabharata, very nice verse. It says that having no knowledge of dharma is Kali Yuga. Having knowledge of dharma is Dwapar. And doing sankalpa, I want to practice dharma, is Treta Yuga. And practicing dharma is Satya Yuga. So you are experiencing these yugas in your own life. It is not that you have to go to Satya Yuga to become a Satya Yuga, the citizen of Satya Yuga. If you start practicing, then you are in Satya Yuga. Having no knowledge, that is sign of Kali Yuga. There is no understanding only. So at least if I have the understanding, my bhakti has to be natural. Now it is artificial. I know without this also I will not survive. But it is not sustainable. I am trying to sustain from an external point of view, but it is not sustainable. It has to be sustainable. Does it make sense? Whoever, you decide who has to ask. Last question. You can ask like that.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I am relatively new to Krishna consciousness. I think 1.5 years. I have a little confusion. There is a spiritual advancement and there is a material advancement. Now I find material advancement, let us say there is a minister, cabinet minister or prime minister say, and there is a spiritual master. So we find in society both are respected, I mean both positions respect each other as we see. So what is the linkages between the two? Because spiritual master already he is very highly advanced. So The material advanced person, materially, who is very highly advanced, what is his position actually?
Unfortunately, in the modern material world, there is no connection only. And that is a problem. In real Rama Rajya, Prabhupada defines, you know, the king and the spiritual master would work together. Rather, the king would work under the influence of the spiritual master. So therefore, they were Rajarshis. Rajarshis means they were also representative of Vishnu only. Why they were representative of Vishnu? Because they were guided by Vishnu's devotee. And they were also Vishnu's devotee. But in the modern world, you know, especially in India, you keep spirituality, religiosity as far away as possible. The conclusion is religion brings conflict. You know, therefore, Prabhupada says secularism means keep all religion far away. Have you ever seen any of our ministers? And if somebody quotes some Gita, Bhagavad, they'll say he's communal. That's a very unfortunate. Actually, the constitution of India is Mahabharata, Ramayana and Bhagavad. That is the constitution. As long as this does not become a constitution, there can never be a connection between guru and a minister. Because a minister is always threatened. If I be so closely connected to them, then I'll be called as communal. And therefore, then the sadhus also feel, alright, don't associate with them, because if you be connected to them, then you'll be branded, oh, you're from this party, you're from that party. So even they can't give that facility of guiding them, because your guidance, the whole principle of how the things work, is very atheistic. Very atheistic. So therefore, you know, when we study the whole Vedic system, is that whether it's a democracy, whether it is monarchical, whether it is a dictatorial, you know, they were guided by the principle of spirituality. The entire Mahabharata talks about Anushasan Parva, you know, act of governance. It is all about how the whole entire cabinet was consisting of, you know, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. All of them, they were there. Brahmanas to guide, Kshatriyas to maintain, Vaishyas to prosper, and the Shudras to execute. Prosperity was there. Therefore, in the cabinet, it explains, more than any other minister, the Vaishyas were more in number. 21 Vaishyas, 10 Kshatriyas, 4 Brahmanas, 3 Shudras. Because unless there is a stability, prosperity without guided by Brahmana creates, you know, pub culture, bar culture, dance culture, midnight culture, and no morning culture. We only say, you know, in the school, they still teach everybody, early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy and wise. But even who is writing the teacher, he has a party till 1 o'clock in the night. The student class, you know, students means Arjuna would not learn anything beyond certain time. Then he decided, hey, I need to be exceptionally good. That's how he gave up sleep. Otherwise, student, it is explained in the evening time, once it is evenings, you rest all the books. Then you get up early morning. So the culture is so, you know, bad. It's Lanka culture. Like Madhvacharya explains, why did Hanuman enter in the night time if he was a real warrior? A real warrior always goes and fights. I am here. So Madhvacharya explains in his Ramayana, you know, commentary. He said, because Ravana is Nishachar. Nishachar yani ki raat ko charne wale. You know, Nishachar means those who are always moving in the night time. So he went in the night time only. That is Lanka. New York is Lanka. Bombay is Lanka, no. Wherever you see light in the night time also, it is not dark, that is Lanka. Whenever there is prosperous activities happening in the middle of the night, very dangerous. No, it is not that, you know, these cities are now. Modernity of demonic culture is there 5,000 years ago also. during Lanka also. They were there. Exchange of, you know, resources were also there. Whatever belongs to me is yours also. Lanka and Wali had a compact. They had a pact. What is it? Ravan says to Wali, your property is my property. My property is your property, including wife, children. The verse is there like that. So therefore, when this is there, you know, then there is distance. Ravan had no guru. He himself was the guru. All direction were coming from him only. His minister asked him, why are you not raping Sita? He said, actually I want to, but you know, I have a curse. And it says like that in public place, sitting on the throne. The minister is asking this question to Ravan. You know, why? You know, just do that. He said, no, I can't do it because, you know, I've been cursed. So wherever there is no connection between spiritual leader and administrative head, a king, and as much distance is created, that much people become more and more helpless, more and more sinful, more and more ignorant. That means more and more Kali Yuga. It is not their problem. No, just one sadhu was saying, he said, naturally, every living entity, especially in Vedic India, you know, everybody has, you just scratch it. When you take out little sand, where there is a lot of water resources, immediately, you know, water comes out. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is very natural. You have to just dig little bit. When you dig, then the spring of unlimited resources comes out. Thank you, we'll stop here. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Bhagavatam ki. Don't clap.